Happy Sunday afternoon to everyone. As I am recording this right now, it is 1:52 in the afternoon. The early games of the NFL schedule are going on right now, and I'm recording this podcast because I want to make sure I get this down before the Seahawks play the 49ers today, and I'm really excited to see that game because it'll be Richard Sherman's first time competing against his former team, and I just want to see him get smoked like nobody's business. I know today is also the last day for many fantasy football leagues, and I wish you guys all the best to those who are playing in their respective fantasy football leagues. If you're in the playoff hunt, I hope you do make the playoffs. If not, I wish you all the best just to finish off the year strong and compete for the consolation playoffs. Myself, personally, I'm in the playoffs in both of my leagues. I'm trying to play for a bye in my money league. And hopefully, if my best friend actually loses and I win, then I get the number two spot and he'll take the number three and I get to chill for a week in my fantasy league. So all things are good on my end in terms of that. For those of you who aren't big fans of football, I hope you are enjoying your Sunday so far, and you take time out of your day to check out the podcast as well. But I want to get into a little bit of news real quick before we go over the NXT UK reviews for episodes 11 and 12. And this was actually, and this was a big one for me, from PWTorch.com. Volter finally signs with the WWE and will wrestle for the UK brand. This by Sean Radican that came across the horn on the 26th of November. PW Insider reported that Volter has signed with the WWE. PW Torch has independently verified the report. He will be part of the NXT UK brand once he reports to the WWE. He had said in past interviews that he would not consider a WWE contract because he doesn't want to live in the US, but this signing creates a loophole because it will allow him to work in Europe. Volter was offered a WWE contract earlier this year, which he turned down. Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer reported that talks between WWE and Volter resumed in September. He ended up doing his medicals in early November for WWE. Volter, who is from Austria, is best known for his work in WXW, where he's also actually a head trainer as well, but has expanded into well-known promotions in Europe like Progress Wrestling and OTT. He is currently the OTT and Progress Wrestling Champion, and he had dropped the PWG World Championship to Jeff Cobb in October after Cobb had won the Battle of Los Angeles tournament to earn a right to face Volter for the championship. This is a very, very huge signing, in my honest opinion, for WWE, not only for the umbrella itself, but for NXT UK. I had stated in a tweet, I believe it was PWP Nation when they first put out the report. I had stated that, you know, if Volter did sign with the WWE, that he should remain in the NXT UK brand. That way he can remain in Europe and still work for the promotions that he has been working for a while now, like Progress, where he is the Progress World Champion, and of course, OTC. I know with the whole contractual issues, with some wrestlers actually signing with WWE and having their developmental deals that would keep them in, you know, working only in promotions that WWE is affiliated with. I don't know if that's the case for Volter, but that's what we're going with right now. And I believe, honestly, this boosts the NXT UK brand exponentially. When you're building a brand such as NXT UK, you already have names like Pete Dunne, Zach Gibson, Mark Andrews, Joe Coffey, Wolfgang, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate. You're building guys like Ennie Dennis, Ashton Smith, Leggero. Pretty much all those names across the board are very big names for the brand, but adding a guy like Volter boosts it big time. Because now you can think of having matches, you know, Volter versus Pete Dunne, Volter versus Zach Gibson, Volter versus Joe Coffey, you know, Mark Andrews and all that. And I'm really excited to see not only what they're going to do with him in NXT UK, but how he works with the company going forward. He is a definite main event scene kind of guy. He is definitely not a mid-carder in the slightest, to be truthfully honest. He is a top name, not in Europe and in the UK. I can't wait. I'm sure that we're probably going to see him at the takeover in Blackpool in January, where they're holding it 2 weeks before the Royal Rumble weekend pay-per-views, Takeover Phoenix and the Royal Rumble in Phoenix. This is going to be fun. I think this is just adds another layer to the cake that is NXT UK. This definitely, you know, gets us fans going for people who are already fans of NXT UK. I can't wait to see what they do with Walter going forward, and I can't wait to see him make his debut. Now, for those of you that don't know, he is also the leader of a stable named Ring Comp. Ring Comp is more of a prominent name in the WXW promotion in Germany, where he has held the WXW Championship and is a former WXW Tag Team Champion. I believe it was with Timothy Thatcher, who was part of Ring Camp, and also Marcel Barcel, also known as Axel Dito Jr. when he's on the other side of the Atlantic. So I did say on a tweet, I believe I was watching NXT when he was sitting in a match against EC3, hopefully that he does make a move to the UK and actually teams up with Walter and they can vie for the NXT UK Tag Team Championships somewhere down the line. That would be very interesting to see if that's the way they want to go. So I'd be very excited either way to see him go for the NXT UK Championship or fight for the NXT UK Tag Team titles whenever that comes up. The other piece of news I wanted to talk about is, and I don't have it on my tablet right now, but I have a good memory of it. NXT TakeOver New York and the Hall of Fame ceremonies are being switched. Now NXT TakeOver New York will be going down on Friday instead of Saturday night, and the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies will be on Saturday the 6th, if I'm not mistaken, if I have my dates correctly. I believe, in my honest opinion, it is a very smart move logistically for WWE. I know a lot of fans who are fans of NXT and New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor were hard-pressed to try to figure out, okay, which show do I need to go to or do I want to go to on WrestleMania weekend? Now, with WWE making the move to switch the days and have TakeOver on Friday instead of Saturday, now they don't have to worry about competing with the G1 Supercard show. Fans now can go to the Barclays Center on Friday night. They can go to the ROH NGPW Super G1 Supercard on Saturday night if they so choose. And then they can go to WrestleMania on Sunday. And I know a lot of other promotions will probably be doing shows. I'm sure Progress is one of the names I can think of right now that'll be doing a show on WrestleMania weekend. I know they did Mardi Gras last year when they were in New Orleans for WrestleMania weekend down there. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were doing a show this year in New York. I know House of Glory, I believe, which is a local promotion in the New York area. They'll probably be doing a show WrestleMania weekend, as well as other promotions. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. But now this does help the fan who bought WrestleMania packages to actually now go to TakeOver without having to worry about choosing which one they would go to. It's a great move on WWE's part. For me personally, it makes things a little bit easier for me now because I can watch TakeOver New York Friday night if I'm not working late. I can watch the G1 Supercard depending on the price of the iPay-per-view, and I hope they do have the show on iPay-per-view or ngpwworld.com, which I am subscribed to. And if you're not subscribed to NGPW World, I definitely, if you're a fan of New Japan, I highly suggest getting it because it is a big, it's a very good deal. I mean, in terms of rates for price-wise, I believe it's like $8 a month for us. I know in Japan it's 999 yen with international transfer fees and all that nonsense. It's for me, it's $8 a month, $8.30, I believe, somewhere around there. it is really worth the price if you're a New Japan fan. If you love the Okadas, if you love the Omegas, the Jay Whites, the Tanahashis, the road that's going down to Wrestle Kingdom 13 on January 4th. If you've been a fan of, if you're a fan of the World Tag League, that's also part of the road of Wrestle Kingdom. I almost lost my train of thought there. It's a very smart move. WWE made the right move. I think personally they made the move because they didn't want to compete with the G1 Supercard. That's not to say fans wouldn't want to go to a takeover show as opposed over a G1 Supercard show, because, and I know Vince McMahon was trying to stop Ring of Honor to have their show in MSG, because he and MSG, the Madison Square Garden, have had a really working relationship for a long time, but Vince McMahon doesn't really put shows on in MSG besides like the holiday tour or the random house show in MSG. I believe they're probably going to be doing a show on the 26th during their holiday tour for WWE. When I heard that news of Vince McMahon trying to stop Ring of Honor from doing the show there, it kind of ticked me off a little bit, for the simple fact that, you know, you can't really stop an arena from hosting a show, especially with MSG coming out with a statement earlier this year that stated, you know, you don't even put shows on there often, you know, in our arena, so we're still gonna do the G1 Supercard. And good on Madison Square Garden, the officials there, for putting their foot down and letting Vince McMahon know, we're gonna do this show regardless whether you like it or not. It is a great move all across the board. So now, for me personally, it makes things a little bit easier to do preview and predictions for shows for TakeOver New York, for ROH G1, NJPW G1 Supercard, and for WrestleMania preview and predictions across the board. In terms of having to do preview and predictions for all of them, it's going to be a little bit of a pain in the ass. Review shows, it's going to be even more of a pain in the ass, but I think it's all going to be worth it in the end for me and for you as well, the people who do listen to the show regularly. It's quite fantastic. I'm very excited about what's going to be going down. I can't wait to see what happens and how everything develops for all three shows going forward, but I'm more excited about the TakeOver New York show and the G1 Supercard show. And hopefully the price is right for G1 Supercard, that I can buy it and watch it and do a review for you guys, because that would be absolutely fantastic for everyone involved. You, myself, the 12 people you tell a friend about this show. It just makes for a better weekend for all of us. And for you guys who, like I said, who bought WrestleMania packages, you don't have to worry about having to pick a side for a show on Saturday. You now get the entire weekend experience. It's gonna be a crazy weekend. New York's gonna be buzzing. It's a big deal to have, you know, WrestleMania weekend in New York, and now every other promotion is gonna be in New York, you know, doing shows. It's fucking great for everybody across the board. And if you're not at ROH, and personally, for those who have never watched a Ring of Honor or a New Japan show, this would be the show to watch. I know they're probably gonna put on their best foot forward. I know TakeOver New York's going to put on their best foot forward. And WrestleMania 35, I'm still wary a little bit. I don't know, you know, how the build's going to be. We'll know more about WrestleMania in the months to come. But enough of that nonsense. This is episode 29 of the Young Lions Perspective. And with that being said, let's talk about some NXT UK. What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling With Issues podcast here, and welcome to episode 29 of the Young Lions Perspective. So glad to have you guys here today, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, your brunch, the time you spend with mimosas, the game you might be watching. If you're not watching anything, I appreciate every single one of you for taking time out of your day and checking out the show. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. And today, it's NXT UK review time, and let's get into it. We have a lot to discuss. Before I get into this review of both shows, episode 11 and 12, I have to say, it just keeps getting better and better for NXT UK. The brand itself, of course, in NXT's image, they have been killing it with every single episode they've had so far. And I think these two episodes were the best yet for these shows. They have been it's been consistent every single week, just like NXT is. And like I said, NXT is the best brand right now in the under the WWE umbrella. And I think NXT UK is not far behind in terms of, you know, brand supremacy underneath the WWE umbrella. Raw and SmackDown, you don't stand a chance as long as these two brands are around. And let's get into it. So with episode 11, it started off the night with Millie McKenzie and Xia Brookside versus Killer Kelly and Charlie Morgan. Little women's tag team action to start off the show. And this was actually a pretty decent match with all involved. Of course, the former McKenzie and Brookside, they were involved in the first ever UK Women's Championship tournament. Killer Kelly and Charlie Morgan were out of the loop. I think they were doing other shows. I know Killer Kelly, I follow her on Instagram. I think she was doing other shows in Europe, and Charlie Morgan, I believe, was doing a show in progress at the time. So I'm sure somewhere down the line, Killer Kelly and Charlie Morgan may be getting into the fold and finding a top contender for the NXT UK Women's Championship. But we'll see how it goes. But Morgan and Brookside actually started off the match. And they go with a collar and elbow tie-up. Xia gets a headlock and thrashes about. Shifts that into a wrist lock. Xia bends Charlie back and stops the bridge. But Charlie kips up. Very athletic move by Charlie. Charlie kips up more and more, showing her athletic ability, which I really do appreciate. Anytime a person can actually just do kip-ups, going from back to foot to back to foot. It was a really nice spot. But Xia, at the last moment, on the last kip-up she did, threw her right back down to the ground. Charlie then rolled back, goes into a headstand to pry free. Fans didn't applaud Charlie after her athleticism to get the wrist lock on Xia. Xia actually used the ropes to escape the hold. Then knees low and actually gave her, Charlie Morgan a head scissor takedown. Fans applauded that move. And then she immediately went hit her with a nice little drop kick. She drags Charlie over and tags in Millie. Fans really are in love with Millie McKenzie. She's been doing a lot of shows on the UK circuit. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she's actually a prodigy of Pete Dunne, Mr. Bruiserweight himself. So if you're a fan of Pete Dunne, you should certainly be a fan of Millie McKenzie. And she has definitely won me over. Especially in her match that she had against Ginny in the first round of the Women's Championship tournament that they had a few weeks ago. She definitely killed it. I know it was in a losing effort, but she definitely had a great performance against Ginny. Definitely will be someone I'll be keeping an eye on going forward. So once Millie got into the ring, it was a nice little tag team move here. She whipped Charlie into the ropes. Millie came back with a spinning neck breaker, and then Xia had a nice little kick. Millie went for the cover, and that only got a one count. Millie keeps Charlie with a modified armbar, bringing Charlie over her knee as she pulls on the shoulder. Fans actually start calling her the Bruiser Miss. And this is all from thechairshot.com. And their point was that Millie's toughness is just like Pete Dunne's. Nice little comparison there. Millie then brings Charlie up. Charlie fights back. She backs Millie down and rams her into the corner and tags in Killer Kelly. Now, I'm actually a big fan of Killer Kelly. I first noticed her, I believe, when they had the UK Championship Tournament to determine it was a triple threat match, I believe, with her. No, she actually had a match with, she had a match with Charlie Morgan one-on-one and in a losing effort, but it was a really good match, a really decent match these two had, and I believe she had another match on night two, if I'm not mistaken. She was in a triple threat match against Isla Dawn and Toni Storm to determine the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. So I definitely know a bit about her. I think she's a decent wrestler in the ring, and I'm sure she'll grow as she goes on. But once she got the tag, Charlie rocks Millie with a forearm smash. She feeds Millie to Kelly. Millie does get around for a waistlock throw, then floats over to a face lock, and then got into another armbar. Kelly then endured the entire... She actually was locked up in a modified Fujiwara armbar. Then Millie starts clubbing away at Killer Kelly. Then she lets Kelly go long enough to get her back into a face lock. She then rocks Kelly with a right and then whips her. She starts looking a little bit groggy after the attack, of course, because Millie was trying to kick her ass. And at this point, Millie runs over her with a lariat. That only got a two count when she went for the cover. She picks Kelly up. Kelly resists the hold. She then brings Millie into the turnbuckles and gives her a waist lock throw, a little bit of receipt and a return of the favor. Kelly then starts stomping Millie down, drags her over for a couple of hammer fists to the back. She starts going after the legs. Now the fans are starting to get behind Millie. She has one arm, uses the long hair, and she actually got a surfboard stomp on Millie's face region, and it looked very, very nice coming from that when I watched it on the show. She then drags Millie up for body shots. She gets the waist lock, but Millie broke free and hits a standing switch and goes for that German suplex. That looked really, really nice, and fans went apeshit the second she hit a suplex on Kelly. She then tags, Kelly actually goes for the hot tag to Charlie. Millie goes for the hot tag to Zaya. Zaya blocks a kick to give a jawbreaker and then hits a face buster. Fans start going crazy as she's got Charlie staggered. She runs, hits a tilt-a-whirl head scissors. She then runs into Charlie in the corner and hits a meteora to the back, which was really nice. Kelly then goes after Zaya in the corner. I believe she was on the top rope. The ref stops her immediately. Charlie takes advantage by throwing Zaya into the post shoulder first. Millie hits Charlie with a spear. Zaya then hits a jackknife, and Zaya and Millie get the victory here in the opening match. This is actually like a really decent match between both ladies. I'm sure there'll definitely be more matches with them going forward. Especially all these ladies, I think they're in their early 20s. They have a lot of growth to have, especially for Millie and Zaya being 19 and 20 respectively. So it'll be really interesting to see how they utilize all four of these ladies going forward in the NXT UK Women's Division. Next up, we had Eddie Dennis versus Ashton Smith. This came about with Eddie Dennis being undefeated, of course, taunting Ashton a little bit, saying that he's not better than him. And Eddie Dennis was conducting an interview with Radzi. Ashton actually interrupted the interview, you know, and saying that he saw his last match. I believe it was against the Enhancement Talent. Excuse me. And saying that, you know, he saw his match, taps him on the shoulder. Dennis got pissed, saying that no one touches me, I'm undefeated. And Johnny Saint set up the match for this episode. Now, Dennis vowed to teach everyone in NXT UK why he deserves to be here living his dream instead of them living theirs. He looked to prove all of them wrong. So Ashton makes his way to the ring after Dennis already was in the ring. And of course, they're using their whoop chants. For Ashton Smith, he's definitely getting a little bit of a following over in NXT UK. I do like his style. I like what he brings to the ring. I do know what Eddie Dennis is all about. He is a very smash mouth kind of guy. So they tie up. Dennis immediately brings Smith down to the mat. Dennis goes after the arm, but Smith gets up immediately. Smith then rolls and handsprings to break free and then jumps in to get into a headlock on the taller Dennis. Dennis then powered out and dumps Smith down on the ground, but Smith immediately gets right back up. Dennis then ran Smith over with the shoulder, showing the power of Mr. Dennis himself. Smith starts to speed things up, jumping over Dennis and then rocked him with a drop kick. That was very nice. I'd say in the NXT UK brand, I'd say there's none better drop kick right now than Mr. Smith himself. Dennis stays standing. Smith baits him in. He dodges Dennis's attack, gives him a calf kick. Dennis then bails out of the ring, but Smith starts building up and actually dives over the top, actually through the middle ropes. Dennis then catches him, though, throws him immediately into the apron, and that was a sick, devastating move by Mr. Dennis. Then referee starts the count. They both get in at the five count. They put Smith in at six. He gets in an eight, taking a little bit of time to just get his whereabouts together. He starts stomping away on Smith, brings him up, and hits a few forearms. Smith then buckles hard after he gets whipped corner to corner and falls down to the mat. He looms over Smith. Fans start chanting, "Whoop!" trying to get Smith back into the match. He starts feeding off that energy to fight back, but gets a judo throw from Dennis, and that only got a two count. He keeps on Smith, hits him with a cravat suplex. Fans try to get back Smith back into the match with the whoop chants. Smith gets up, starts fighting back. Dennis gives him a knee for his efforts. They go back and forth a little bit. Smith gets free, catches Dennis in a nice half Nelson backbreaker that looked really, really good. He starts feeding off the energy from the fans again, starts hitting punches to Eddie. Dennis actually goes for a low knee and throws Smith into the corner. Smith comes back with a nice lariat that rocked Dennis. Smith tried to rally with elbows. After each one, the fans kept yelling whoop for his efforts. Dennis is now on the apron. Smith sends him down with a nice triangle drop kick. He then goes for a high flying move again, and actually this time takes Dennis down. Crowd starts getting into it for Ashton. He keeps moving, throws Dennis back in, goes up to the top and leaps and gets a leg lariat, goes for the cover, and that was a 2.9. That was about the closest he got to winning the match. They start a 10 count as Dennis crawls away, gets out of the ring. Smith stands first. Dennis falls right after. Smith runs in, but eats a big boot from Dennis. He hops up, but Smith stops him with another drop kick. Smith climbs up to join Dennis and wants a superplex. Dennis resists it and slips out. And Dennis gives the Razor's Edge and then hits the Severn Bridge Buckle Bomb and his finishing move, the Next Stop Driver. 1, 2, 3. Eddie Dennis beats Ashton Smith in his first little feud on NXT UK. This is actually a pretty good match. One I would definitely want to go back and check out just to see a little bit more and catch the details of the match. Ashton Smith is definitely someone to be watching out for, but I think as of right now, Eddie Dennis is definitely going to be the guy they look to going forward. Up next, we had Saxon Huxley taking on Joseph Connors after the attack that he suffered to Judas himself the week prior after their loss against Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. So this Huxley definitely wanted a little bit of payback after the attack from Connors. So immediately the brawl's on. Huxley backs Connors down with some heavy haymakers. The fans start chanting, "Let's go, Jesus." And then they start doing the Wonder Wall. "Hey, Jesus, who? Ha. I want to know if you'll be my God." Which made me laugh a little bit. I was laughing about that because I know they usually do that for like Bailey when she's over in England doing her thing. Connors turns it around, starts clubbing away on Huxley. Huxley then hits back and knocks Connors off his feet. He hit him hard. He continues to keep on Connors, hits him with a few European uppercuts. Connors staggers, but Huxley won't leave him be. Connors then knees back, hits him with a knee, hits a few clubbing shots, and then a few stiff body shots that rocked Huxley hard. Connor whips him corner to corner, runs in, but Huxley runs him over with a shoulder. He then whips Connors corner to corner, tosses him with a backdrop. He then whips Connors again, but Connors reverses it and clobbers him with a devastating right. Connors then starts hitting rights and lefts and then stomping away at Huxley. Fans start calling Connors Judas for the attack that he had on Huxley. I gotta say, before I continue talking about this match, the UK crowd, they've got it down to a science, man. Their chants are on point. They are energetic. They are so lively. And I'm wishing that the US crowds would be more like that, because I think it adds more to the show, and I think it adds more to the match itself when they're actually involved. And I'll definitely talk about that when we talk about episode 12. That'll explain that a little bit more. So after he starts hammering away during the chants, the ref counts and let him know that closed fists weren't allowed. He was hitting him with a closed fist instead of an open fist. Connor stops at 4, of course, being the heel that he is. He wraps Huxley in a straitjacket, in a half straitjacket, and that takes him down. Huxley fights back, and fans start rallying behind him. Connor ignores the chants of "Judas sucks" and "Let's go, Jesus," and stomps away at Huxley again. He then puts Huxley up on the top rope and starts hammering away on his back. The referee tells him to back off, and Huxley just slumps to the mat after the attack by Connors. Connors continues the attack, stomping on him some more, drags Huxley into another corner. Connors drives in back elbows and backs off at the four count. He runs back in but ran into Huxley's boot. Huxley then gets the knee lift and hits a shotgun in Siguri. And for Saxon Huxley, he's a big dude. So to hit a move like that was pretty fucking nice, and he made it look seriously effortless. Huxley then hits a big knee in the corner, fires up as he drags Connors up. He slips out of the rack and clubs away again. Connors runs, but runs into a big lariat from Huxley that only got a two count. Huxley almost had him. Literally, he almost had him. I thought he was going to win the match and get the upset victory over Connors. Huxley then runs after, but misses at the ropes. Connors brings Huxley up for a back suplex. That only got a one count. He then drags Huxley up and hits him with a sit-out spine buster. And surprisingly, that only got a two count, and Connors looked pissed that he did not finish him off with that move. He then tells Huxley, "This is my world. You are just visiting." That had me rolling hard. I was laughing my ass off. He slaps Huxley, and the fans start booing him. He drags Huxley up by his hair. Huxley starts firing up, trying to make a comeback. He dares Connors to hit him. He does. Knocks him down to the mat. He picks him up and hits his finishing move called Don't Look Down. Gets the three count, and Connors gets the victory over Huxley. I love Joseph Connors. If you saw him in WCPW in Defiant, he was definitely a prominent name there. I know he was in a little bit of a feud with Joe Hendry for the WCPW Championship. He's definitely a name to be looking out for, and I think he's going to be another guy that we're going to be looking for in the main event scene, especially in 2019. They're starting to build guys, Dennis, Connors, names like that, to, you know, shore up their main event scene there. So after that match, NXT UK looked closer at both Toni Storm and Rhea Ripley before their Women's Championship match on episode 12. A couple things that I wanted to note from this is that Toni Storm had said, and I quote, "I've always felt pressure throughout the entire time that I've been doing this. Many dream of it, but no one wants to face the pressures. But making history is all about facing that pressure. The Lightning Down Under has made history all around the world, such as being her being the 2018 Mae Young Classic winner." And that was a nice little quote that they had for Toni Storm. I did like that they actually did little video packages of both competitors. With Rhea Ripley, she said, "You want to know about Rhea Ripley?" You know, she's talking about how she took out Zaya Brookside and Dakota Kai. She tore them apart, and that Storm will just be another victim of the Riptide. I like that, you know, they really put a spotlight on both ladies, that they really wanted to make this a major deal. But what I want to talk about is the UK championship match between Pete Dunne and Jordan Devlin. This was an absolute crazy match from beginning to end. It was absolutely insane what these two did in the ring. Now, I believe the week prior, Jordan Devlin was conducting an interview with Rodzy, and he was saying, you know, "What will it mean to you to become the United Kingdom champion?" He did say that he vowed to end the reign of Pete Dunne, and he also said he was going to rebrand the entire show as NXT Ireland, guest starring the United Kingdom. It was a really nice interview that he conducted. And I like that he said that quote. He wanted to build the brand in his image. Now, they were in Birmingham for this show, which is actually the hometown of Pete Dunne, and I know usually with the WWE main roster, if a certain talent is in a hometown, usually they don't get the win. And I was wondering if this was going to be the case for Dunne. Now, as Devlin was making his way to the ring, fans were actually chanting, "We want Balor." Not to say that, you know, Finn Balor is not coming to NXT UK, but since they're really not utilizing him on the main roster, why the fuck not? Just saying. So after the introductions were made, belt was raised, let's get it on. They stared down each other before slowly circling each other. Immediately, Dunn has the chin and brings Devlin down to the mat. He goes to the fingers immediately, but Devlin goes for the head scissors, leg lock. Dunn gets up and around, but Devlin works to keep him down, trying to keep him off his base. Dunn pops out, stares Devlin down, and Devlin slaps him. And immediately, Dunn slaps him back and knocks him down and drags Devlin up for an arm lock. He begins to twist the arm into a hammer lock and goes for a signature stomp that he usually does once he has a guy in a hammer lock. Devlin gets out of the way, and fans applauded the evenness of the match so far. They circle again. Devlin gets the wrist lock. He then wrangles Dunn down while fans still taunting him that he's a reject Balor. I love the chants from the UK crowd. They make it so much fun to watch this. And like I said, it amps up the match and gives the match more energy. Dunn gets up. Monkey flips Devlin away. Devlin then scrambles to the apron, but then comes back to rock Dunn with a nice right. He starts raining down rights down on Dunn. So, of course, the fans booing him. He shakes the stars out of his head. Devlin gets him back in a headlock. Dunn powers out and starts to speed up the match a little bit. Runs over Devlin with a nice lariat. He starts floundering. Dunn gets Devlin down, starts trapping an arm to pull on the other. He pulls and starts pulling on the fingers, that joint manipulation that Dunn does effortlessly and really goes after his opponent's hands, especially for Devlin, who has a nice little finisher that he has to use his hands for. He endures the torture, though, as Dunn bends his arm back. Dunn has double chicken wings, and he starts stomping at Devlin's head in the process. He then kicks Devlin while he's down, brings him back up, and whips Devlin, but Devlin reverses it. Devlin then stops Dunn from going up and over with a nice little backflip and gives him a draping backstabber that only got a two count. He starts going frustrated after that cover, stomping away at Dunn. Dunn grabs the leg, though, but Devlin then throws in forearms to add a little extra, insult to injury. He sits Dunn up and slaps him around, pretty much toying with him at this point. Dunn then clubs Devlin with clotheslines, but Devlin ducks one, hits a uranage, and then hits a standing moonsault, and that surprisingly only got a one count. At this point, he's keeping his cool, not trying to be emotional about the cover. Devlin then rocks Dunn with a forearm. He eggs Dunn on trying to bait him in, starts throwing more forearms. Dunn grits his teeth and he takes those forearms like it was nothing. Dunn eats every forearm that he gave and blasts Devlin with a huge right hand that knocked him on his ass as Devlin had to retreat to the corner. Dunn then goes for an Irish whip. Devlin reversed it again. He gets up and over this time and enziguris Devlin, which was very nice sounding from the Birmingham arena that they were in. Devlin goes for a standing switch. Hits a nice little German on Pete Dunne, but he lands on his feet. He kicks Devlin's back and then shoves Devlin for a rebound snap German suplex that made me go apeshit while I was in the Burger King watching this on my lunch break. Yeah, it happened. Deal with it. Devlin starts begging for mercy. I think he was trying to bait him in a little bit. He gets a kick instead upside the head. Gets hit with an X-Flex that he got into an armbar. Devlin reaches for the ropes. While he's trying to get away from, trying to go towards the ropes, he actually goes for the cover, had the wherewithal to go for a cover. That only got a two count. Dunn lets Devlin go. He gets into a corner again. Dunn runs in after him. Devlin dodges it, hits him with a nice enziguri, and then goes for the boot wash that rocked Dunn like a motherfucker. He picks Dunn up and hits a Saito suplex. That only got a two count. Devlin starts hammering away on Dunn's back with both hands, stomps him in the ribs, and then starts gloating to the NXT UK crowd in Birmingham. Like I said, this is a pretty much a home game for Pete Dunne, so anything he's doing, the crowd's going to let him have it. He goes for the moonsault, misses it. Dunn then stands on Devlin's hand and starts stomping away on it. As he's clutching up his beat-up hand, Dunn goes for it again. But Devlin breaks free and rocks him in the right hand. Dunn hits Devlin back, but when Dunn ran after him, he actually went into a Spanish fly, and that was not the only Spanish fly that occurred in the match. Devlin goes for the cover, but he gets caught in a Koji clutch. I thought that was the end of the match right there, but Devlin endured it. tries to roll towards the ropes. Dunn rolls a little bit more, but they finally get the rope break. He lets Devlin go, and then Devlin slumped into the apron. He then goes to the ring floor. Dunn goes out to get him. Then they go to the steps. Dunn wrenches Devlin's arm. Goes for the stomp again on the Sting ring steps, but he missed it. Devlin then shoves his legs, and his face hits the steel. He picks Dunn up and hits a super Spanish fly to the floor that had the crowd absolutely going apeshit for that move. It was such a nice move, and I was not expecting that at all. And it was just, it was really, really clean. Somehow, they're both fine after that. An average man would have taken a Spanish fly and was just like, yep, I'm done. You can count me out. I'm good. So both men get back into the ring after a five count. They were almost both counted out. So there's fans that start going crazy. Both men just start looking at each other. They're, you know, they're grinding their foreheads, looking at each other. Devlin gets back up first, and Dunn's back starts bothering him. Of course, after the amount of damage that he's taken to his back, especially if that super Spanish fly, that would definitely hurt your back a little bit. Dunn stands on both hands. Now, wait. Let me make sure I got this right. Dunn blocks the cover into double knuckle locks. Dunn then stands on both hands and stomps them both. Then hits Devlin with a mean buzzsaw kick. Picks him up for a pump handle. I think he was going for the bitter end at this point. Devlin slipped out of that and hit a sickening poison rana that somehow only got a 2.9. It was really, really close. Crowd starts chanting, "This is awesome." Devlin starts getting frustrated at this point. He drags him up and starts hitting him with forearms, trying to knock him out. He then runs and springboards, but he eats a forearm from Pete Dunne. He picks Devlin up, goes and finally gets the bitter end. But since his back was so beat down, he can't get the cover right away. He then goes for the cover. Devlin very smartly rolls away to the outside. Dunn keeps going after him, but Devlin keeps evading him. He reaches the ropes and the apron. Then both men stand on either side of the ropes. Dunn joins Devlin down into the apron. Devlin then shoves him into the ring post back first, adding more damage to Dunn's injury already. Devlin then drags Dunn up to the top rope and positions him. He then comes in and climbs up to join Dunn. Dunn somehow gets him off of the ropes, off the top rope, but Dunn's trying to resist, actually, and Devlin's trying to throw more forearms. Devlin gets all the way up and hits a third Spanish fly off the top rope, and somehow, some way, that only got a two count. I was trying not to lose my shit in a Burger King. I swear on it. I promise you, you're sitting there, you're at work, you're trying to watch wrestling, and you're just like, and you're trying to keep it together, but sometimes you just lose it a little bit. That may have gotten a couple stares from the people that were sitting in there, and I'm not apologizing for any bit whatsoever. Crowd starts chanting, "This is wrestling." This was a well-deserved chant. And I agree, this is what me personally, NXT, is all about, especially for the NXT UK brand. So Dunn sees Devlin walking over, and he sits up. He dares Dunn to stand. Devlin gets up. Devlin knocks him down immediately. Dunn then gets back up, and Devlin's telling him to stay down, but he gets back up. He throws his fist up like he wants to fight, but Devlin immediately gives him a sickening headbutt. Both men fall down, but Devlin gets up quicker than Dunn does. He takes Dunn's mouth guard out. First and foremost, a lot of things don't disgust me. That's nasty. I'm just going to put that out there. That's quite nasty. You just don't go into another man's mouth and just take out another man's mouth guard. That's just disgusting. But what happened right after was a super kick to the face. That only got a two count. And Nigel McGuinness was even saying, how on earth did that only get a two? Devlin then goes up to the top rope, goes for a moonsault, but gets caught into a triangle hold. This was the same move, if I'm not mistaken, that beat Zach Gibson when he was defending the title against him a few weeks prior. He has Devlin stuck. He has him down. Drives in his elbow to add a little bit more pressure to it. Devlin scrambles for the rope break, but Dunn does the same thing that he did to Zach Gibson. He snaps the fingers. He then takes the fingers back, and Devlin has no choice but to tap out. And Pete Dunne retains the NXT. How should I say, the WWE United Kingdom Championship. This was a dope-ass match. This was fan-fucking-tastic. And in my honest opinion, this was probably the best match that NXT UK has put on so far. This was fucking fantastic. Devlin definitely showed his ass off in this match. Three Spanish flies, one off the steel steps, one off the top rope. For sure, that would have beaten any other man, but Dunn has the resiliency, of course, as the UK champion to defend his championship. Pete Dunne defends his championship in his hometown of Birmingham. And one thing I saw after the match, as the crowd was chanting, "That was awesome," Dunne just simply shrugs, as he usually does sometimes in his matches. He just shrugged it off. He was like, whatever. Just another day in the office for him. But like I said, this was a fantastic episode of NXT. Now, real quick, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into NXT UK episode 12. And we're talking about the NXT UK Women's Championship. NXT UK episode 12. In my honest opinion, this has been the best episode to date ever since NXT UK started up 6 weeks ago. The episode actually started off with Joe Coffey taking on Sid Scala. Now, 2 weeks ago, Sid actually went to NXT UK GM Johnny Saint and asked for another opportunity to be in the ring. So Saint told him that if he was actually medically cleared by in 2 weeks' time, he would go one-on-one with Joe Coffey. Now, we all know Joe usually comes out to the ring with Last Kings of Scotland stablemates, Mark Coffey, his brother, and their new pal, Wolfgang. But he felt more than confident enough today he wouldn't even need them. So he comes out, and then Sid Scala's music starts playing, but Sid's actually in a suit, much to the disappointment of the Birmingham crowd. He says, and I quote, "Mr. Coffey, I know you expected to face me in the ring tonight, but as you can see, I've not been medically cleared to compete," end quote. He then promises that there is a replacement. That replacement was Tyler Bate. Now, if you remember, I believe it was last week's episode 10, the Last Kings of Scotland attacked Trent Seven in the backstage area and hurt his leg in the process. So Bate was trying to get a little bit of redemption for the actions of those three. So the bell rang, and immediately this turned into a straight up boxing match. Bates started firing off fast hands on Coffey. Coffey starts hitting back, and they were throwing hands like it was no tomorrow, like it was Wilder Fury last night. Bates dodges a couple shots to fire more hands on Coffey. Then Coffey comes back with a few body shots and then hits Bates with a stiff chop. He then starts wrenching the arm and actually whips Bates. Bates boots the ropes and actually knees him back. Bates runs after him, but Coffey shoved him away, to which Bates came off the ropes and hit Coffey with a nice drop kick. Coffey rolls out of the ring while Bates started building up speed and actually hit a suicide dive to take Coffey down. So the fans in the Birmingham crowd started getting fired up. As Bates refreshed the count, he went back into the ring and came back out. Coffey immediately saw that and starts hitting back with body shots and tried to whip Bates into the stairs, but Bates stops himself before he can get hit and elbows Coffey away. He then gets up on the steps and hits a nice flying European uppercut to the delight of the crowd. So at that very moment, here come Mark Coffey and Wolfgang. Now, this distracted Bates long enough, and that allowed Joe to attack Bates from behind. He then threw Bates into the apron and then threw him into the barricade on the outside. So Joe brings Bates back into the ring. Bates goes for a fireman's carry. As he was trying to get Joe up, Joe slipped out of it, and he tackled Bates into the corner. So Joe starts punching and stomping away. Referee goes for the five count, backs off at four, and he actually does the mustache check that Tyler and Trent do before their matches. as they do it with the crowd before every match. So Bate immediately chops Joe back. Joe rocks Bate with a very sickening right and brings him up on double underhooks. He starts swinging Bate around, showing off his strength, brings him back down, and hits a nice butterfly suplex, but that only got a two count. He then clamps onto Bate with a nerve hold on his shoulder, and then immediately wraps it into a full straitjacket hold. So Bate gets up, and he actually works against the jacket. He tries to reverse the hold, but Joe immediately gets it back on Tyler. Excuse me. Now, Bate gets up again and actually finally turned the hold around. Joe started to fight it off, and they go around, and Bate. Now, Joe tried to reverse it on Tyler, but Bate continued the hold. So Joe backed Bate into the turnbuckle, and then arm dragged Bate out, and then catches Bate for a nice belly-to-belly suplex. That only got a two count. Joe starts stalking him, and he tries to go for the straight jacket hold again on Bate, but he resisted, and he got up. Joe rings him out for a shoulder tackle. Bate comes back with a couple body shots, starts throwing more hands and backing Joe down. Joe shoves Bate away. Bate then went for the bop and bang feint, but he saw right through it, but uses a bop, his right hand, to rock Joe. Bate comes in, tries to run in for a back elbow. Joe follows, actually missed that, and Joe followed up with a corner splash. He gets Joe again and tried to go for the exploder, but the amount of damage to his back wouldn't let him. So actually went for a Hurricane Rana instead, goes for the shooting star, and that only got a two count. Now, the fans started rallying behind Bate, trying to rally him up, trying to fire him up and get back into the match. So Bate puts underhooks on Joe. Mark comes up on the apron for the distraction. Bate starts arguing with Mark, but Joe uses that to actually get a forearm. He whips Bate and then pops him up for a nice power slam, and that only got a two count. Joe starts getting frustrated, and out of nowhere, Trent Seven comes from the curtain to be out in the ringside area to the delight of the Birmingham crowd, but to the dismay of Mark Coffey, Wolfgang, and Joe Coffey. So he's trying to cheer Tyler on. Fans are literally now, with Seven outside in the ringside area, they're starting to try to give more energy to Tyler. Joe looks to end things with the waist lock, but Bate fights out of it with elbows. He manages a fireman's carry, but the bag started giving out a little bit again, and Joe fought out with a couple of elbows on his own. He gives Bate a boot, and then hops up for a nice crossbody, misses that, and flops onto the mat. So they're trying to rally him up again. Both men get up to their feet. Joe calls for the discus lariat finisher, but misses that. Bate ducks underneath it and hits his rebound lariat on Joe Coffey. And that lariat is probably one of the best rebound lariats in the game. I'd say it's much better than Dean Ambrose, but the way he does his rebound lariat, it looks like he's doing like a suicide dive, but it goes over, he goes underneath the top rope, comes back, and actually hits Coffey. It looks so nice. And if you've never seen it before, it's one of those things that it's a thing of beauty. So Bate then tries to go for a second attempt at the airplane spin. It looked for a second as if he wasn't going to get it, but he finally got the strength to get him up and starts the airplane spin. He goes around about 10 times as the crowd started chanting out loud, 1 through 10. It looked like he was starting to fade and put him back down, but he goes back around the other way and catches second wind. Bate is, both men are rocked, but he actually hits Coffey with a rolling kick. He then picks up Joe. Gets double underhooks. It looks like he was going for Tyler Driver 97, but immediately Mark Coffey and Wolfgang rush the ring and attack Tyler Bate. Seven then runs in a 3-on-2 disadvantage so he could help Bate in the resulting brawl. Referee calls for the bell, and Bate would win by disqualification. Now the brawl actually continued, and it looked as if the Glass Kings of Scotland were going to get the better of Mustache Mountain. Fans start chanting for Pete Dunne with Bruiserweight, and immediately Pete Dunne comes out. You hear his music, he runs out, and he's running full force at Joe Coffey. Fans start going crazy as Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven actually get the better of the Last Kings of Scotland. Now, they tried to go at them again, but they ran them off. They ran them off once more. That ended the segment. So it looks as if this will be the main storyline going forward, as we head into NXT UK TakeOver in Blackpool. This should be a really, really nice match. If they decide to do like a six-man tag between now and Blackpool, and I have a strange feeling that, you know, this, you're looking at the possible finals of the NXT UK Tag Team Championship Tournament, and it wouldn't surprise me if this is the route they're going for the WWE UK Championship, to have it as their main event at Blackpool. So we'll see how it goes. Like I said, there's no spoilers with this. I'm just going from what I see off the top of my head, but I would not be surprised if this were two matches that could possibly go down in Blackpool in the second week of January. Going into the next match, a fan favorite of the NXT UK brand and a fan favorite of mine, actually, El Ligero went one-on-one with Dan Maloney. Now, this was a nice little quick match. Just to get Ligero some love and actually gets Maloney some shine to actually showcase his talent. So immediately, Maloney pie faces Ligero. Ligero kicks him back, puts him in a headlock. Maloney uses his power to lift Ligero, but Ligero held on. He tried to lift Maloney, but that really didn't work out too much. And Maloney powers him onto the apron. He lets go, but tried to sucker punch him when the ref was trying to call for the break. Ligero slingshots and dodges Maloney. Hit him with a calf kick, and that only got a one count. So Ligero whips under the ropes. Maloney reversed it. Ligero then slides underneath and jawbreakers back on Maloney. He then tries for a head scissor takedown that he usually gets off very well, but Maloney had some power. He runs and actually he picks him up, looked like he was going for a power bomb, but ran into another head scissor. Somehow that only got a two count. So Maloney gets up, runs into an uppercut from Ligero. Ligero tries to go after Maloney again, but he blocks the boot into a spine buster. Surprisingly, that only got a two count. Maloney then drags Ligero up as fans sing his name like he's Darth Vader. And that was kind of weird, but I was laughing a little bit because that UK crowd comes out of nowhere with their chants. He then drags Ligero into a grounded abdominal stretch, starts hammering Ligero on the ribs. Lets go of Ligero to club him right in the back. Ligero staggers into the corner. Then Maloney hits him with a chop. He actually stalks Ligero into another corner and got another chop on Ligero. Then Ligero staggers away, and actually fans were chanting, "You're just the new Sin Cara." That was a crazy chant they were going on with. But hey, that's the UK crowd for you. Maloney then chops Ligero into another corner, scoops him up for a slam, and then climbs up to the top and was going for a leg drop, but he immediately missed. The end of the match had seen Ligero slipping out to the apron and baiting Maloney into the corner. He climbs up, he leaps, and hits a seated senton. Now, fans, we're getting behind Ligero. He actually bobbed and weaved in enziguri Maloney. He actually goes for the rebound slice bread, but that only got a two count. So in the end, Ligero brings Maloney up, runs. Maloney blocked the tilt-a-whirl. He then slips out, tosses Maloney out. He builds up speed, hit, and goes over the top rope and took Maloney down on the outside, brought Maloney back in, picks him up, hits with a springboard DDT, and gets the three count with the victory to get back on track in NXT UK. It was a nice little match to showcase Ligero. Nothing too much going on. Dan Maloney put on a little bit of a good effort, but in the end, Ligero gets the victory. This next match, I think, was actually a much better tag match than I thought it was going to be. But it was mainly about Zach Gibson and James Drake. In my personal opinion, I thought Zach Gibson was going to be going as the top heel in NXT UK. He had the look, he had the mannerisms, the charisma, the crowd despises him with everything. But James Drake actually came into the fold, and I actually could see it from a mile away then. They were going to have him be featured in the tag team division. I did say on Twitter that he was going to be a top heel going forward, and maybe, you know, sooner than later, he was going to be a future NXT UK champion. But I think now the Grizzled Young Vets, a team that's actually in Progress Wrestling, and they're former Progress tag team champions in their own right, and actually had a good run with the tag team championships, they went up against Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams in this tag match. So Gibson starts the match off with Williams, and immediately fans go there with their chant, "If you hate Gibson, shoes off." I love that chant. I just love the fact that Gibson is just so hated and that he's so, I would say he's just so over as a heel that when you get your own chance of and people taking their shoes off because they hate you so much, you got it made, man. So they tie it up. Gibson gets the Half Nissen, then hits the cravat, shifts that into a headlock, but Williams actually pries out and gets a wrist lock on Gibson. Driggs distracts Williams enough that he grabs the Gibson grabs his hair and wrangled Williams down with a chin lock. Gibson then brings Williams up with a hammer lock and tags Drake in. So they start mugging Williams, and then Drake hits a nice suplex. But Williams slips out, rolls Drake up, but that only got a one count, and hits a springboard back elbow that looked very, very clean. I love the talent by Williams, man. He's a damn good talent, and I hope they feature him more in the coming weeks and months on NXT UK. So he tags in Amir. They begin to work together. He hits a double whip on Drake. Amir hits a hip toss and then calls him a loser with the L to the forehead, a la the Bella Twins. I really wasn't feeling that too much, but then Amir ran and crossbodied and drop kicks Drake, and that surprisingly got a two count. So Amir keeps on Drake. Drake gets the headlock though, tags Gibson in. Amir powers out. Now Amir and Gibson both jump over Drake, but Gibson hits Amir with a clean throat chop that looked really, really nice. He keeps on Amir with forearms, brings him down with a snapmare, and then as he's putting the Cobra Clutch on Amir, fans start chanting, "If you hate Gibson, stand up." And the entire Birmingham crowd stands up and chants this chant. It was absolutely hilarious. I love when they do these chants, man. It's absolutely crazy. So Gibson continues to tune him out, starts trash-talking Amir, and tags Drake back in. And they actually hit a forearm smash on Amir. Drake goes for the cover. That only got a two count. Now, the ending of this match had seen Drake actually barking at Kenny Williams. Williams rocks him to the right. Then he goes back to Gibson, but Gibson backs him into the corner. Drake tagged in, mugs Williams. They start working together, but Amir comes in to save Williams. Amir and Williams dropkick both opponents out. Williams hits him with a wrecking ball dropkick and then skins the cat, goes back into the ring, and does a double suicide dive on the grizzled young veterans. Fans start going crazy for that, thinking they're going to get the victory. Amir keeps up on Gibson. Gibson pushes him into the steel steps to prevent him from getting into the ring. Williams then climbed up, but Drake rocks him with a right hand. Williams then slumped down. Drake tags in Gibson as he went back to the corner. They pick Williams up, and then this, the way they finish their finisher, they're called Ticket to Ride. It was absolutely perfect. It's like a gut wrench it's a gut wrench, and Nigel McGuinness said into a lung blower. It looks more like a co-breaker to me, but they get the finisher, Ticket to Ride, get the three count, and the grizzled young veterans beat Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams. It's a really nice match for these two, and I definitely know they're going to be featured going on into especially for the NXT UK Tag Team Championship tournament. Now we get to the main event of the night. This was I knew this match was going to be really good. And my buddy Russell was telling me that, because he had seen the match before I did. He told me, it's a good match. You're going to enjoy it. And I wanted to make sure that I definitely watched it in full and then watched it again to make sure I didn't miss any details. So Johnny Saint comes out first with the UK Women's Championship in hand. He was the one that's going to be presenting it to the winner of the tournament and the first ever champion. So this match was fantastic, from the way the introductions were to from the match itself to the ending of the match. So, even the ring announcer said, "Tonight we make history," because we were going to crown the first ever UK Women's Champion. So the bell rings. They stare each other down. Rhea starts talking trash to Tony. Rhea shoves Tony and then strikes her usual pose with the pretty much the rocker pose that she does. But Tony immediately fires off forearms, starts hitting her with palm strikes and then kicks her with a boot with Rhea staggering into the corner. He then hits her hip attack, and I'm thinking, they're going to end this early. Are they going to really end this early with a Storm Zero and then call it a night? Because that would be a bad way to end the tournament personally. But Rhea slumps out of the ring. Tony takes aim, and then she actually goes through the middle and the bottom ropes and actually hits her with a suicide dive. And Tony is fired up, and the crowd in Birmingham is going absolutely ballistic. So she has Rhea reeling. Tony runs at her and dodges, but Rhea dodges out of the way, and Tony collided with the barriers. It looked like she was going for another hip attack, but she missed it completely and hit her back hard on the barriers. Referee starts counting. Tony starts stomping at into Tony against the barriers. She drags Tony up at five and throws her back into the actually got her into the apron. She goes and refreshes the count at six and then hits her with a kick to the back. You see Tony start wincing and clutching her back, and immediately this was going to be the focal point of the match. This was the main story of the match, that it was going to be Rhea focusing on Tony's back. So Rhea keeps on her, of course, puts Tony on the apron, and she gets up the apron herself. They refresh the count again, and Tony starts fighting back with some knees. Tony throws a few forearms. It prepares for what looked like a power bomb, but Rhea actually countered with a back drop that where Tony hit her lower back right on the apron in the hardest part of the ring. And in my honest opinion, this was the turning point in the match where pretty much everything started going Rhea's way. So the referee comes in the outside, starts checking on Tony. Rhea leaves her behind. But Tony's not quitting. She has to beat that ring count. She actually gets back in at the count of nine. And then Rhea goes back on her, starts hitting ground and pound on her forearms. She starts stomping away at Tony and picks up Tony by her hair. She then whips Tony right into the turnbuckles, and she was definitely going after that bad back. She then rams her shoulder into Tony's stomach, and she only stopped because of the referee's count. So she starts throwing body shots, a few forearms, and then gets Tony into the other side of the corner. Tony at this point was barely able to stand. It looked like she was going to be out of it completely. She starts getting thrown around. She keeps on Tony and actually goes for a body scissor squeeze, trying to take the air out of her lungs. The fans started getting behind Tony as she's trying to endure the hold. She starts working against the scissors as fans started rallying behind her. So Tony starts moving around, starts throwing a few forearms to try to get back into the match, but Rhea shoved her away, but Tony comes back with a few more forearms. Tony actually goes after Rhea again, but she hits a shin breaker and goes immediately for that inverted cloverleaf that I like so much, and Tony is writhing in pain. And I like the way she sold the inverted cloverleaf. Words are hard, guys. So she's trying to hold on, trying to grab anything, and she starts getting love from the crowd again. Rhea really is wrenching at the legs at this point, trying to keep Tony off the mat. Tony finally crawls towards the ropes and gets a rope break. So then Rhea drops Tony and then kicks her right into the lower back again. And at this point, Tony is writhing in pain. Rhea then brings Tony up, starts firing haymakers at her. Tony dodges a couple shots, goes for the German suplex, but that back pretty much would not let her to even try the German suplex. Rhea broke free, gets a low kick on her. Rhea suplexes, but Tony slipped out, and she actually managed a German suplex. Picks her up again and actually hit another German. She goes for a third. She's trying to fight out of the waistlock, gets a mean headbutt from Tony, and actually gets caught in a third German suplex, goes for the cover, and that only surprisingly got a two count. They start dueling. Yeah, fans are starting to get dueling chants for Tony and Rhea. Tony hits her with a Shining Wizard, and Rhea staggers in the corner. Tony goes for another hip attack, and she hits it. Tries to go for the Meteora, and hits it. Then drags Rhea out. That only got a two count. Tony's keeping her cool. Kicks her way at Rhea's face. She runs, but ran into a nice drop kick, but surprisingly, that only got a two count. The crowd starts chanting Evolution in reference to the Mae Young Classic Finals and the women's all-women's pay-per-view that happened back in October. So Rhea drags Tony up, throws her into the corner. Tony goes up and over and actually sent Rhea into the post shoulder first. She went for a rolling body scissor bridging covers, and surprisingly, that only got a two count. She was not going to stop. She was definitely hurting, definitely selling it very, very well, that back injury. She double underhooks, but Rhea, I think she was trying to go for Storm Zero. Rhea backdrops her again all the way out of the ring, and as she was coming out of the ring, her lower back hit the apron again as she was going out of the ring. She sends Tony into the corner and the barriers over and over and over. Throws her back in the ring, goes for the cover, and surprisingly, that got a 2.9. It was very close. Rhea immediately noticed it. She picks Tony up, going for the pun, tries to go for the pump handle hold, goes for Riptide. Tony slipped out of that. Tony then reversed it, goes for Storm Zero, but her back immediately gives out, which gave Rhea the opening. She hits Riptide. 1, 2, 3. Ladies and gentlemen, your winner and the inaugural NXT UK Women's Champion, the Mosh Pit Kid herself, Rhea Ripley. Johnny Saint and COO Triple H come out to congratulate Rhea, presenter with being the first ever women's champion. Surprisingly, the rest of the UK crowd, UK talent, actually were on the stage to actually give her a standing ovation at their match. And she and Rhea looked like she was about to cry, but she was definitely keeping it together. Congratulations to Rhea Ripley. And I've been saying it for a while now, ever since I started covering the NXT UK brand, Rhea Ripley is definitely someone to watch out for. Her transformation over the past year has been nothing short of spectacular. And it culminates with her being the first ever UK Women's Champion. This is definitely a crowning achievement for her. Probably the biggest win of her career, if I say so myself. It was a really good match between these two. I love the story that they told with Rhea hitting that, you know, counter back body drop, and that spelled like the beginning of the end for Tony. But she definitely fought back, tried to fight as the baby face, but it was too much. Rhea Ripley, congratulations on being the NXT UK Women's Champion. Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 29 of the Young Lions Perspective. I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, your brunch, your snack time, your tea time, your mimosa time you have with your homegirls, the pregame before you go to the club, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. I greatly and truly appreciate it as always. If you enjoy this episode, do not hesitate to tell a friend about the show, and do not hesitate to share it on your social media, your Instagram, your Twitter, your Facebook, whatever social media you have. Let the people know that the Young Lions Perspective is the alternative for a professional wrestling podcast, and that we are here to stay. Now, if you don't listen to the show on the Anchor app, and seriously, why don't you? It's probably one of the best apps for podcasting in the game today. You can check me out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher Radio, and of course, Spotify. Bam! Search for the Young Lions Perspective, and you should have no problem finding it whatsoever. I am followable on Twitter at SuedeSenatorWWI and on Instagram at Suede_Senator_WWI. Keep up to date with the show. I do live tweet during Raw, SmackDown Live, NXT, NXT UK, any New Japan events that go down when I'm not up at 2 o'clock in the morning and trying to watch that show, because it's very hard to try to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning for a 5 o'clock show, I promise you. Follow me on the those social medias, and you should keep up to date with everything that's going on with the podcast. Now, of course, Friday, I will be doing my NXT review show for this upcoming episode, and maybe, just maybe, in the opening segment, I may be doing a top 10 list for the young stars of the future. It's going to be a pain in the ass to try to figure out what 10 I believe in my mind are going to be the stars of the future going forward in professional wrestling, but that should be fun and one hell of a task for me to try to figure out. Guys, enjoy the rest of your night. I'm going to go watch the Seahawks game, and last time I checked, they are crushing the 49ers, so I'm going to go enjoy that. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we will talk again on Friday. See you.